The Bible is funny.
Hello again, The Bible is Funny podcast listeners. Welcome back to another episode of The Bible is Funny podcast. My name is Anthony Russo, and here on The Bible is Funny podcast, we talk about the funniest parts of the Bible and what we can learn from them. And we are so excited to be back here on a rainy evening in Florida. I don't know if you guys will be able to hear this rain, but it's raining here in Florida. A couple of things I want to say about that. One, I have like this skylight in my house that is kind of nice. It gives us some natural light in the living room. It unfortunately, the sun hits down at a real bummer part of the couch. That's like one of the more comfortable parts of the couch. So sometimes you're laying there and you're feeling maybe a little nappy and you can't because you got the sun coming down right on you. And it's also responsible for what at least I can hear this rain right now. Hopefully you can't. Secondly, I am in Florida. I think I've mentioned this a couple times. It dawned on me the other day, someone was telling a story about this Florida man trend. I don't know how on you guys are about the Florida man trend, but there's like crazy news stories. You can Google Florida man. I think there's like a Twitter account, Florida man and Florida woman. And someone was making a joke about that. And it dawned on me, I am a Florida man. That is what I am. When people are making fun of the Florida man, they're making fun of me. I'm a native Floridian. And you know what? Our state is as wild as it sounds. It's crazy times down here. But we have the beach. So it's not so bad. In Disney World, we can talk about that. You know, we got the Disney World, we got the beach. It's a lovely place to live and visit. If you're ever in the area, you know, give me a shout. We're back for another episode of the podcast today. And it's a great one. It's one that affects me personally in a couple of ways that I'm excited to get into with you guys. But before we go any further, I want to say thank you to everybody out there listening right now. However you're listening, whether you're cleaning the house, going on a jog, whatever. Thanks for letting me be a little part of your day right now. You're the best for listening, for subscribing. Appreciate everybody that leaves reviews, all of that stuff. So helpful. So thank you to everybody who has done that. And if you haven't, it would mean a lot if you would. So now we're into 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Making another appearance on the podcast is David from the Bible, the character of David. He's back. This is actually it's a little snippet from the story of David and Goliath, which is a very popular story. I'm sure a lot of you have heard it, David and Goliath. Even if you haven't heard the story, heard like the biblical text, you have that like David and Goliath colloquialism, which is a word I never feel like I say right. I don't know where the Q is supposed to go in relation to the L's. But David and Goliath is in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Again, a couple of fun themes in here that I like to talk about. We're starting in verse 25, but I will give you a little run-up. Starting in kind of verse 17, Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. I'm pretty positive it's not pronounced ephah, but it's an amount of grain he's bringing to his brothers who are up at the camp. Also take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of the unit. You gotta love that. You gotta love dad sending, you know, roasted grain, bread, basic necessities to the brothers, and the nice cheeses to the commander of the unit. see, verse 18, see how your brothers are, and bring back some assurance from them. They're with Saul and all the men in Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. This is kind of just setting the scene here. David leaves the flock and heads out that way. Now we'll pick it up in verse 25. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel." That's verse 25. Verse 26. David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel?" And I just love this because they literally just said it. Verse 25, they go into detail. You know, it's two full sentences. You see this guy out here? The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He'll also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel. And David, in verse 26, David asked the men standing near him, "Cool, cool, cool. But what's going to be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel?" Like, we just said it. We literally just got done saying it when you started talking. And it's such a great, obviously David, you know, doesn't hear the first go around, but he's also like, he's the little brother coming up to see the big brothers that are out here fighting with King Saul. So a little bit further down, or we'll just keep rolling with it. Verse 27, they repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. We got to say it again in verse 27, because we said it in verse 25 and David missed it. Let us know in verse 26. And then verse 28. And this is it. This is, if you are in a sibling dynamic where you are either the younger or the older sibling, I want you to take this passage in and tell me that it doesn't resonate with your soul. Listen to this exchange between these brothers, starting in verse 28. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." And then here it is, verse 29. Every younger sibling out there feels this. Verse 29. "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" Verse 30, he then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. So potentially there he's asking again about the situation with what happens. David just is not hearing what they're saying. I just love that exchange with the siblings. Why did you come here? Like, you can just see the older brother with his friends. And they're in all their military stuff. And he's feeling all cool. And then here comes his little brother. And that those little brothers just have that effect on older brothers. Right now we have Crosby is 5 and Finn is 2. And just sporadically throughout the day, Crosby will just walk up to Finn and like push him, hit him in the face. Like random acts of aggression at... just because this is his little brother, and this is what little brothers inspire in big brothers. It's just this like lash out mentality. You hope that, you know, they get older and they become friends, but obviously here we see it's still going on with Eliab and David. So I love the little kid tidbit there. We're very much living that in the Russo house right now. But I also want to go back to this. So like I said, verse 25, you know, the Israelites had been saying, we have the quote here in detail, "The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He'll also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel." That's a great little gift, by the way. Like, that's a wonderful, like, what's the word there? Prize. I was going to say consolation prize. That's not right. But you know what I mean? Like, you'll be exempt from taxes in Israel. Like, what a gift. That you could attach to something. We need to do that, I think, in broader strokes in modern day. We need to say if you solve like a huge problem, you get, you know, exempt from taxes in America your whole life. What a wonderful prize. So then they go on. David asks again, what will be done for the man who kills? So David doesn't hear. David's not listening to the people around him. I love that. I actually hadn't even written that down, but that's so great in verse 30. He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. Hey, so I keep asking, but nobody seems to want to tell me. What is going to happen to the guy that... David's not listening very well. He's not hearing these people. He's not listening. I wanted to tell you guys a story about when I was having a hard time listening. I travel and do improv comedy. I think I've talked about that on the podcast before. And we were doing an event. I'm not exaggerating in the least. We were doing a Valentine's Day event for a singles ministry. That's what we were doing. It was a Valentine's Day event at this singles ministry. It was a fun group of people. They were into the show. It was really great. But we did what's called short form improv comedy. So we would interact with the audience a lot between stuff that we did, and we'd ask them questions and they'd give us answers, and then we would tell a story based on the answers that they gave us. So it was Valentine's Day, and I was supposed to get the suggestion. So I walked out there and I said, "Give me what's like your favorite thing about Valentine's Day?" And this guy in the crowd, it's like kind of like biker jacket wearing guy, stands up, and I said, what's your favorite thing about Valentine's Day? You, sir, right here, tell me what your favorite thing about Valentine's Day is. And he goes, "The hotch." And I said, "The hotch?" And he repeated it right back to me and said, "The hotch." And I was like, I just was looking at him. I mean, I've been doing improv a long time, so I like to think I'm pretty like light on my feet, can roll with the punches. But I was like, "The hotch." I'm going through my mind. All I can think about is hopscotch. He's somehow merging the word hopscotch and the hotch. And I'm like, I don't know how we're going to tell a story about this made up word, this guy. So I just one more time, I was like, okay, you know, because I don't want to like drag this on and make this person feel bad. Okay, the hotch. So we're going to tell a story about the hotch. So he stands up again and he goes, "The hotch." And he points to his chest. And I go, "Hearts, the hearts." He said, "Yeah, the hotch." I couldn't hear him. I couldn't hear what he was trying to say. He was saying it. He was obviously saying it. I just couldn't hear, you know, what he was trying to say. I feel for David here in that respect. I wanted to bring this story up because I definitely love it, and it makes me laugh, all these interactions. But we're also in a moment here in America, in the midst of an election year. We're all voting here soon. It's important. I hope everyone does vote. Please go out and vote. But we're that first debate we all watched, that first presidential debate, was so tough because you have all these people talking over each other. It's just a season where we're not being modeled how to be good listeners. We're not being encouraged in some ways to listen. And I say that knowing full well that as I say that, I'm sitting in front of a microphone talking with no one able to respond as I lecture about listening. But I think it's a really important trait, and it's something that doesn't happen on accident. Listening to people takes, you know, you need to pay attention to them. As I'm forming these sentences, I'm thinking, like, I know that sounds really simple and elementary, but so many people don't do this. So many people, you know, someone's talking or sharing something, and the only thing going through their mind is, what am I going to say next? Or how am I going to, you know, we, especially in a season like the one we're in, we can fall into this trap of point counterpoint. We're not really having conversations. We're trying to win conversations. Like there's some imaginary tally out there. And I can encourage you in the fact that there is no imaginary tally. No one is keeping score. Even when we watch these presidential, vice presidential debates, yeah, everybody thinks their person won at the end of it. There's no arbitrary scoring system here. So as much as that might be what it feels like is the mood of the country and in some ways like what's being modeled for us, like try to take the time to listen to what people are saying. Try to really take the time to get where they're at. Be able to really formulate what it is that they're that they're getting at or where it's coming from is an even more important thing. That not just what they're saying, but why they're saying it. Why do they feel this way? You know, and that's even a good follow-up question when people are saying things like, what makes you react in that way? Or what makes you respond in that way? Asking good questions is a great way to show someone you're listening. You know, good follow-up questions, remembering details, stuff like that. There's so many great things about it. I mean, you're gonna have more complete pictures of people the more you listen to them. And they can feel it. You know, the person that you're interacting with, the person you're in a relationship with, feels when you're listening and when you're not listening. One thing for Rachel and I early in our relationship is she is someone who needs like eye contact to really talk when we're really, you know, need something to talk about. We're just like walking around doing different things, chatting about, you know, The Bachelorette. We don't need full on eye contact, but to really talk about something, she needs eye contact. And I just have not been that way my whole life, but it means something to her. It means that I'm checked in. It means that I'm listening. It means that I'm participating in a different way in this conversation. So that's my little word of encouragement for you today in the season we're in. I know we're all dying for the day when we can watch a YouTube video without being inundated with political advertising. And that day is coming. The day is coming soon. But until then, take the time to listen. Take the time to listen to people that think differently than you, that think the same as you but sound a little different. You know, take the time to listen. Even more so, lean in when you can feel there's a disconnect, maybe. Lean in especially when you're like, oh, that's funny that you're saying this about that. That's not how I think. Ask good questions in there. Really try to unpack what it is that's going on beneath the surface, because it's worthwhile. And you won't end up like David, walking around asking people to repeat things that they've already said. Yeah, he's not going to have to pay taxes ever again. Yeah, cool, cool. Tell me what happens to the person, though, that kills... I can see an audible moment of looking at each other. Audible's not the right word there. Just a palpable moment where you're like, is it? Did he really? You just asked? We just said. Okay. And that guy ended up being king. King David later down the road. So that's it. That's our podcast for today. Thank you so much for listening. Like I said, if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a review. Share it with your friends. And if you're not already, follow us on Instagram, @TheBibleIsFunny. Follow us there. Jump into the comments. Shoot me a DM. All of it. I love hearing from everybody that listens. You guys are great. And we'll be back again with another episode very soon.